Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. We are in Acts chapter 14. We're starting in verse 8. So get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. This is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
Hi, this is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
This is Steve from Phoenix, Arizona.
This is Mark from Vancouver, Washington.
Northern Vancouver, Washington. Are you? You're not even in the city limits, are you, Mark? You're almost to Alaska.
La Center.
La Center. Okay. If anybody knows where that is.
I like it.
We were discussing something before we get started here. I had some notes as we do daily readings. How many of you guys do daily readings and write in your Bible, write different notes to yourselves?
I do.
Yep.
You read with a pen, right?
Yes. I read to underline, and I read with, if it says this, and oh, it says it over there too. I didn't ever know that before. I made that mark. But you do different things, bigger picture sorts of things, like you were just discussing a minute ago. I'd never thought of making notes in regard to those things. And I thought that was really interesting what you were talking about a while ago.
I find the notes that I make that I've forgotten I made.
Those are the best ones.
What do you do, Steve? Do you make notes to yourself too, or?
Yeah, like what Andy was saying, if you read somewhere and you remember that was somewhere else. Like this morning I was reading and where it says a word three times, and on a previous show we were discussing when things are repeated in threes. And so.
And what was the word you were keyed in on?
Well, this morning in the daily reading, it said, O land. And it said that three times. And then the word right after that was to hear. Like if you wanted someone to hear something, you'd say it three times.
That's beckoning.
And it's talking to a country, right?
Right.
To Israel? Was it to Israel?
It was.
And they were going to, about this time, they're being transported. They're all being kicked out of their country. Do you folks out there that are listening to this, do you think we might be kicked out of America? I mean, there might be something really big happening because maybe we've forgotten to worship God. And maybe it's beyond politics, beyond the churches. They don't even see it. What is happening? Do you think we are in the condition Israel was in at that time when God kicked them out of Israel for a certain amount of years? I think it said 70 years. Mm-hmm. Am I right on that? And they had to go into captivity to Babylon. How do you like to make notes on things, Mark?
My notes are a lot more immediate. Notes are often like my wife and I are, we share what each of us saw that day. So it's more like, hey, did you see this? And so the notes are like, it's interesting because she'll see something today that even if she tells me, it may not register until I see it in a couple of years. But it's more of like, we're reading it together, so we're sharing it.
Some people read it together. Some people read it separately, but they read it together. How much have you learned from your wife, Mark?
More than I learned by myself. Something every day almost.
Yeah. That was really profound how you said that. More than I learned by myself. Wow. Meaning it's needed, necessary, valuable, all of that.
Yeah, I have to listen, or I'm sometimes not sure I'm learning at all.
Just reading it is one level. When you start talking about it amongst spouses or your friends that are reading with you, maybe you'll call somebody up and have, you know, a conversation. Mm-hmm. It changes, doesn't it?
Yes.
And maybe, I think it gets into the multiplication. Mm-hmm. I don't think it just adds a little bit. I think there's a multiplication factor. when you have a buddy, and but especially a spouse, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
How about you, Steve?
Yeah, it slows me down and makes sure that I do listen to my wife, like when she's sharing things, because those are things that the Lord shows her. And it's interesting because those are the things that didn't stick out to me. I'm learning twice as much of whatever the Lord showed me and then plus what he's showing her. Yep.
How about you, Andy?
Krista will have different insights on things, and she may not be reading right where I'm reading, but she has interesting insights on things. Just insights.
It's fresh, though. It brings fresh things in, doesn't it? Outside of the world of us, just us individually.
It's not like a repeat mundane. No, it's something new with a fresh insight on it. And it could be anything, pretty much. I never know what's going to come out of that.
You know, this guy that started, this Ramon that started us beginning in a Bible college, this all started in a Bible college, one denomination. Nobody agreed with the other person around them. And it started with reading the Bible the way we do, going back to the Greek, and we would study, let's say, repentance. We would look up every place that particular word was found. It's divided into the different parts of speech. So we're looking at an exact mate scriptures. We learned to read full context. It started with that. And we found out we were all, even the teacher himself, who was maybe a step ahead of us. So if you're going to follow a man, he was constantly changing. So we're actually not eyes not on him, but we are all in turn reading, our eyes focused on Jesus, watching him. And then we were sharing with each other. And he was just a part of this. He joined us with him with these other people. So now there's 20 people. And so now you're hearing from 20 people, not just him. He tended to be more of a person that would organize to make sure we stayed, our focus was on Jesus. He was more like that and taught us how to use the Greek language and how to read it. But we were actually all equal. He was just a little ahead of us in the Greek language. But there was not a person in that group of 20 that started with 21. Then by the time I'm coming in, it's 50. And we're all learning from each other and listening to each other. And I'd never seen anything like this before in my life that didn't really have a teacher, yet a student teacher. And it'd be like, I'd call Ray that started us a student teacher that would always remind us, eyes on Jesus, walking in his footsteps, don't get ahead of him. Repentance comes first. First thing we were taught how to change our minds and to be amenable about it, not to fight, that we reason together. Reason, not fight. He liked the Bereans who proved the person that said something right. Now, if you can't prove them right, then everybody's got to change their mind. They're wrong. We're wrong. Whoever brings that out, and we as a group would prove it either right or wrong, and then we'd go with the right. But I like the Bereans. They received the word with readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. That was the really, if you want the core idea of all this is to be a good Berean.
And the result of that is it said many of them believed. And so when everyone's doing that, they're all going to come to this faith, this belief that's going to be the same because they're all doing the same thing.
It only brings about unity, but that's how we started. And I found out by doing this with my wife, I maybe learned more, maybe over double what I would have known. I learned so much from her. People would think it's me. I bring this up once in a while. I would like to say this out loud that everybody knows. I've learned more from my wife than I did on my own. Way more.
That is sure true for me. I also learned how she thinks by listening to her, where before we studied the Bible together, I think it helped me learn to listen to her. As Steve said, to slow down.
It helps marriages, doesn't it,
yeah.
Mark?
Yes.
It heals marriages. Since we started it, in the beginning, we would have our fracases and whatever. Then we read the scripture about, and it came out pretty fast, be angry and sin not, let not the sun set on your wrath, and we're not to give place to the devil, neither give place to the devil. So be angry and sin not. As soon as the sun goes down, it's over. You actually forgive. Half of that is forget. Don't even bring it up the next day. It's out of bounds. It's illegal. It's against God's law to bring that up. You're a lawbreaker if you bring it up the next day. I wouldn't even harbor it in my mind. Throw it out of your mind. Turn around. It's gone. And boy, that marriage, we had our fracases. We both did. We both were in error at times. We both had to change. And I found out one of the worst things I ever did is I tried to make her admit one time that she did a particular thing. And that was the dumbest thing I ever did because I wasn't thinking in my mind that she would figure it out herself and repent. And actually, that's playing God. I realized it. And I was so sorry I ever did that. I could see the look on her face that I went way too far. I'm glad I learned that lesson young. I saw what I did in her expression. So we survived 50-some years of marriage, and it just got better and better all the time when you do that. But this is learning together with your spouse is incredible. Learning together with your brother is incredible too. And we were looking at the growth. You know, when you start off with 12, think of learning 12-fold. And that started with that. And then it went on more and more people, 120 by the time Acts and their time they're baptized. In Acts chapter 2, 38, it started with 120 people. It ends up right away with
3,000.
3,000.
And 120?
And 3,120. And then in chapter, I think it was chapter 4, 5,000 then. And then a little bit later.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of information around that 5,000. It just says, and 5,000.
Were added.
The first story was like a lot of information. And then all of a sudden, you get 2,000 more and it just goes, and 5,000.
And then around Acts chapter 5, it multiplies. So you take the 8,120. And you got, well, at least 16,000.
You can't do multiply without
240.
Yeah.
Oh, but if it's three times, or if it's four, it says multiplies. It doesn't tell you what. It could have been 20, 30,000, at least 16, but who knows? And then it's interesting because it's mentioned the growth, and I don't think they'd even gone a year that this happened. Okay, the latter rain. There's the early and the latter rain. Do you think there is going to be a day when this happens? You know, rain starts off kind of slowly sometimes, but then it seems like up in the Northwest, there are days when it starts off, and then all of a sudden, wham, it dumps, doesn't it, Mark?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And there might be thousands or millions in the latter rain. I want your view on this. How many years do you think we're away from the latter rain, Mark? Or are you wanting to say days? Okay, how about decades, years, months?
I would say years.
Uh-huh. Within maybe 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it is within, what do you think?
Three.
3 years.
I don't know. But
well, in 3 years, we're going to find out. Steve, what do you think?
Under 10 years.
No, I like that.
Yeah, I don't push it over 10.
How about if it happens in months?
Well, then that's what's going to happen.
Or weeks. Or days. cranking it up a little bit there, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, so we see this growth happening in Acts chapter 2.
Because, see, that is, if we take that as a personal statement, yes, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, we're going to be involved. But we don't know everybody that's involved, and we don't know where they all are. So, yes, it could come along, and it could be a small amount of people around us, but in regard to our size of what we're doing, it would be some people. But that doesn't mean the whole earth you're looking at there.
Okay, let's back this up. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I mean, let's back up and look at this picture, what we have already been through. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John was 3.5 years. It gives history going back 2,000 years to Abraham and Matthew. It goes back just a short time. Mark is just a short book as to time-wise. It's 3.5 year period about. And Luke is a 4,000, or pardon me, yeah, 2,000 for Abraham, for Matthew. Luke is 4,000 years, that period, and then all of a sudden, plus 3.5 years.
Because it goes back, it's 4,000 because it goes back to
Adam.
To Adam.
Talking about Jesus being the Son of Man, so it goes back to his beginning as a man. And it gives the lineage and who bear who come from Adam all the way to Jesus. It pinpoints where he came from. And then John goes back to eternity, but Mark, the 3.5 year period, all this happened, the New Testament was brought about, it shows from John the Baptizer baptizing Jesus. That's a 3.5 year period. From the time that happened, everything happened within 3.5 years. I wonder if your first guess is closer, 3.5 years. I don't know. We don't know. I think we have to be ready for it.
Like it's in days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wonder.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be surprising? I don't want to be surprised. I would like to be ready when that happens. And we might be tasting a little bit of it now. We might be feeling the rain now and then the cloud burst when that happens. And the earth was in a mess, you know, when Jesus came. Israel had been overrun. It wasn't their own country anymore. It was a mess. We're almost ready to see that maybe in America. It might not be our country anymore.
We read earlier in Acts where Paul and Barnabas, they shared the message, and within a week's time, a whole city came to meet them. And so that's only 7 days. So it could be something shared, and then those things that were shared with people, they go out and share those with other things, and that's multiplied.
Can you imagine a whole the multitude of the city coming out? The multitude of the city. Maybe there are a few stragglers in it that didn't come out, but the multitude of the city coming out. You will see things like that. And then it happened in chapter 2, 4, 5, 6, 9, you know, several times, 10, 11, several times, 12, 13, several times, and then where we are in 14. I think we listed it, and Andy said 16. That's 16 times, and we are in chapter 14. It's happened in our reading. I don't know if you've picked up on that, but that has happened that much. That's how fast the growth.
That's really just 12 chapters because it started Pentecost. That's 13 chapters.
Mm-hmm. We're in chapter 14, verses 8 through 18.
And at Lystra, a certain man sat impotent in his feet, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. The same heard Paul speaking, who, fixing his eyes upon him and seeing that he had faith to be made whole, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped up and was walking. And the crowd saw what Paul had done, and they lifted up their voice, saying in the Lyonish, "The gods are come down unto us in a likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercury, since he was the chief speaker. And the priests of Jupiter, whose temple was before the city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the crowds. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard it, they rent their own garments and sprang forth among the crowds, crying out and saying, Men, why do you do these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and bring you good tidings, that you turn from these vanities unto a living God, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and all that in them are, who in the generations gone by suffering all the nations to walk in their ways. And yet he left not himself without witness in doing good and giving you from heaven rains and fruitful seasons, filling your hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, they scarce restrained the crowds from doing sacrifice to them.
Now, this is the second time that somebody's been crippled from their mother's womb, and this happened to him. I mean, it's the same exact kind of thing, crippled from his mother's womb.
And was the other time, who laid hands on him the first time? Was that Jesus? Or is this the
It says, and he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his ankle bones received strength. That was the first time that was—
And that was done by whom?
That's Peter.
Okay. The first time it happened, who did it? Do you remember? Was it in Acts, or was that Jesus? Who raised him the first time? Do you remember? That first, not him, but the first instance of being crippled from the mother's womb. Do you remember where that was? We could look that up.
I thought it was in Acts 3, but maybe it was before that. Did Jesus do one like that?
No. I'm asking you.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
This is not my point of expertise. It's yours.
Well, this is the first time I saw it. The first one that came in my mind was this one. There could be a previous one, okay. But now we're getting over here 14 chapters, and it's happening again. Similar story.
So you just read Acts 3.
I just read Acts 3.
So both times it's God's kids— exactly doing what something Jesus
yes,
would
that's
do.
That's right. That's right.
But we don't know if Jesus did it. We didn't check that out, right?
Right.
That particular type of a healing. That's what I was asking you.
Oh, okay.
Because you were tracking that one. That wasn't my area of expertise. I was just asking you.
Well, Andy, and this one goes along with, and it says, fixing his eyes upon him and seeing that he had faith, he made to be made whole, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet.
Now we're just doing a saying one like before. So now here we've got stand up.
Just speaking.
Just speaking, just like the 8 years, just like the...
It's happened three times so
Yes,
far.
Three times now that this has happened. Speaking and not touching anybody, and something happens.
Well, he made us in his image to be exactly like him, and he has authority with his voice to command it to be done, and it's showing that we have that same authority if we're filled with the Holy Spirit.
So now that we found this three times in here, there's the laying on of hands that we know that are so, and here, this is so. This is three times.
Three-legged stool.
Oh, wait a minute. Thrice.
Three-legged stool.
We talked about thrice yesterday. Yeah. Well, here's three times.
You like that thrice, huh?
Well, we kept seeing that too.
Are you going to start using that word thrice now? Am I going to be hearing that a lot?
I don't think my wife would like thrice. She would go thrice, no.
She would ban thrice from being overused, right? You know, I was looking at, again, the amount of quotes from Old Testament to New, and there were 62 in Matthew. It went down to 31 in Mark. I can't remember Luke and John that much, but it seemed to keep going down with Luke and John. And in Acts, I would expect that there would be more quotes from the Old Testament into the New Testament, but it's still less than Matthew. It ends up being 42 quotes total, which is interesting, which is six times seven that are brought about. Now, What's interesting about 6 times 7, it seems imperfect, doesn't it? 7 times 7 are 2 perfections, and I could see it being that. But we have in the book of Acts, Acts does not end, does it? It's to be continued. This is going to continue on. So why are we going to Revelation next? Well, it's being continued to Revelation because it's going to end there, and it's going to end in the next Makarios event, that is happiness beyond this earth, happiness that'll carry us to another plane or another height. And there's 42 quotes here. I believe there's still going to be some things that happen. This is the book that's unfinished. Our lives today, any believer, your life, my life, should be in this book. It should be chapter 29, 30, 31, 32, and maybe there are 7 more quotes. Maybe there are 14 more quotes. Maybe there's 28 more quotes, a multiple of 7. We don't know. This is the book. This is the one book that is going to be yet finished. We should be the continuation of what Peter did, what Paul did. That's what we heard from the beginning when we started this race, didn't we? Have you heard that before? You remember that saying that Acts is, there's no amen at the end. There's no, you know, like Borge, you know, the piano player, Victor Borge, the Jewish Dane that was a comedian. You know, he would read a book, and if he needed a comma, he'd go, or if he needed a period, you know, and he would, he would do it through his expressions. He would fill in the punctuation. So there's no period. I'm going to read the last with that. Okay. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense, talking about Paul, and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. That was a period. Thank you, Victor Borge, the Danish Jew. And he was hilarious. So now you got a little bit of flavor of that. But now we are, maybe we're chapter 29. Maybe we're chapter 50. I don't know. Maybe 66. I don't have a clue. But we should be walking a continuation of the whole book of Acts. That should be us. From beginning, Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 should be our lives. You don't have to make a church manifest or this is our vision or what do they call those things in churches? It should be Acts. In other words, this is what we believe. Just read the book of Acts. Well, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And we have run out of time, so until we meet again, may God lead you into all truth.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820-347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.